Today I'm proclaiming God's word from the Gospel, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with trust so that your word may be fruitful among us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have very rich texts today, including our Gospel reading, which is full of allusions to the Old Testament. And we'll touch on some of these allusions as we go through the sermon today. But to start with, I want to keep things simple so you know where I'm going as I unpack the Word of God. 3 points in this sermon. First of all, Mary received the Word of God by grace. It came to her by God's favour, not because of anything that she had done. Secondly, Mary received the word of God in trust. She believed the message that the angel Gabriel spoke to her. And the third thing is that the word of God was fruitful in Mary. She bore the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this means also for us that we receive the word of God by grace, not because of anything that we have done. That we receive this word and trust what God's word says to us. And that through this trust, God's word is fruitful among us. So if you can understand what happened to Mary, you can also understand what happens in the church. Mary is, if you like, a type of the church, of what happens among us, even here today. Well, here's how our reading starts. In the sixth month. Now, what's this about? Well, it's 6 months since Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, fell pregnant with John the Baptist. If you follow Luke's narrative, you know that this has been happening. So there's a setup, if you like. And we're here today entering into the action as it's unfolding. So 6 months since that has happened. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came and said to her, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." And this is that last section here that I want to pick up on. Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you. Because here we have an allusion to the Old Testament, in fact to the book of Zephaniah. Greetings, literally translated would be rejoice. It can just mean greetings, like we'd say hello, but there's a literal meaning to it. Listen to this quote from Zephaniah chapter 3. "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice," and there's the word, "and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." And what's the cause of this rejoicing, Zephaniah? It's the presence of the Lord. The Lord with his people. The Lord is with them, the text says. And so as we listen to the Old Testament and think about today's reading, we get a richer picture of what is happening as the angel announces the word to Mary. Now note that Mary is called the favored one in this text. The angel is sent with a word from God, not because Mary is by her own efforts somehow worthy, but rather because God is gracious, because God has shown favour to her. And we know from elsewhere in the New Testament what the favour of God means. The grace, the favour of God can be shown even to God's enemies. So God's favour is not elicited because of any worthiness in us, but flows out of the great love of God for us, his creation. And so Mary is especially favoured by God. This, of course, is part of our teaching, especially in the Lutheran tradition. We say that we are saved by grace, by God's favour, on account of Christ and what he has done, and through faith, through trust. So that little dogmatic or theological statement we see enfleshed in today's reading, what it looks like. This graced life, based on God's word, trusting in God's word, this, of course, is what discipleship looks like. in other words. Now the narrative goes on. But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God." There's that word again. "And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, we heard about this throne of David in the Old Testament reading and in the Psalm, and I did some simple teaching on it also in the kids' address, although not really simple. There's a lot going on with the throne of David and what it means. So I'll just read one verse from 2 Samuel 7. This is what we heard today. This is God's word to David. "Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever." In other words, God gave to David a one-sided promise that there would always be someone reigning on his throne, that his house would be established forever. When we call Jesus the Christ or the Messiah, we are recognizing that he is David's son, the one in whom this promise was fulfilled. This one-sided promise of God to David, enfleshed in the human being, Jesus Christ, born of Mary. Now the narrative continues. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Literally, "since I don't know a man," is what she says in the text translated literally. Now, Mary is engaged to Joseph, we know this, but she hasn't had sexual relations with him. So if you like, there's a scientific aspect or a realistic aspect. How is this going to happen? The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy and will be called Son of God." Now as modern people, we are predisposed, I would say, to think about this account in what you could call medical or scientific terms. And in my opinion, it's fine to think this way and to consider these questions. After all, they come up in the text. But it's also clear that St. Luke, in writing this account, wants us to understand it in terms of the Old Testament. That is, to truly understand what is going on here, one needs to listen to it in terms of God's word. So, I'll say it another way. To get a deeper picture of what's going on, if you like, from the point of view of discipleship, to grow into this narrative, we need to listen to God's word in the Old Testament, which will help us understand what this message means. The language that's used here is language regarding the temple and God's presence in the temple. So in the book of Exodus, in the final words of the final chapter, we hear of the temple, which is then, in fact, the tabernacle, the tent, the meeting place of God. We hear that it is installed. And as Moses completes the work of installing the tabernacle, a cloud covers the tent, and the glory of the Lord fills the tent. And we hear these words. "Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." That settled upon it, that's the same word that's used here in today's reading. And that's what's going on with Mary. So to understand what's happening with the conception of Christ and Mary, think about the temple being consecrated and the glory of God being in the temple. In fact, Luke does use this word, overshadowed, once more in the Gospel. So when the transfiguration happens, we hear this. While St. Peter was saying this, and you remember St. Peter starts to speak when the transfiguration is happening, "a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud." So again, Mary's pregnancy is described in words that evoke the glory of God and the gracious presence of God. Now the narrative continues. The angel says to Mary, "And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. So Mary hears this word given by the angel, and the angel assures her there is a sign which she can see in the person of her cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren, but now in her old age is in the sixth month of pregnancy. But there's also here an allusion to the book of Genesis, and indeed to Sarah, the wife of Abraham. You remember, the Lord visits and assures Abraham that he will indeed bear a son. Sarah laughs when she overhears this, but then we hear these words: "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season." And he says to Abraham, "And Sarah shall have a son. Nothing is impossible with God," including the conception, when it seems out of human mind and possibility. Now, because God has favoured Mary with his word, and because nothing is impossible with God, Mary responds to God's word in trust. Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Here we see what trusting God's word looks like. It means letting God's word do its work. Mary received the word in trust, a word that came to her by grace. And in trust, she falls pregnant with the Son of God. The word of God is fruitful in her. Now we, like Mary, also receive this word graciously. It comes to us from the favour of God. And we receive this word in trust, in things like our baptism. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in baptism, our sins are washed away. And like Mary, we receive this gracious word and say, "Well, God, let it be with me according to your word. If you say my sins are washed away, then I'll trust you. I'll trust what you say is true also for me." We receive this gracious word also in the word of absolution. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. We can't earn this. Nobody can earn forgiveness. Even in the human community, we can't earn the forgiveness of another person. We receive gracious word, God's gracious word of forgiveness, purely flowing from his favour. And we trust God when we say, "If you forgive, let it be with me according to your word." Likewise, when we receive Holy Communion, we hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ: "This is my body. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord." And we simply trust what he says. Even if we say a simple amen to that statement, we are, like Mary, assenting to the gracious word of God. And God's word will do its work among us. Work that we could not do by our own strength. Mary could not make herself fruitful with the word of God. Neither can we. Mary could not make the word of God come to her. Neither can we. We can only receive it as God's grace. And it's only in response to this word that we have trust which is fruitful. Now, so we're thinking, as we close this sermon today, what fruitfulness means when it comes to the word of God. Let's go to Galatians 5, this great teaching on the fruit of the Spirit that St. Paul gives. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." As a congregation, we could try all we like to live this way. As individuals, we could try all we like to live this way. We could fool ourselves for some time to thinking that we achieve these goals, but given who we are with our natural lack of trust in God, it can't last, and it can't be lasting fruit. But the word of God, God's word, can grow this fruit among us. And as we receive God's word in Christ Jesus, and as we simply assent, we, like Mary together, are fruitful with God's word. That's why the center of our life together here at Bethlehem is the Word of God, the gracious Word of God in Christ Jesus. That's why the heart of apostolic preaching is the proclamation of forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, a turning back to God. And that's why we, like Mary, can receive the Word of God and trust that it will be fruitful among us, and that we will have God's peace, His joy, His kindness, gentleness, His self-control among us, simply as a gift. Well, may we be sustained and persevere in this life of faith, and like Mary, live the life of trust and be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.